Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 5 and 6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we know the great sacrifice that your Son Jesus made. As Brother Branham said, he tried to dodge the cross, and yet he yielded his spirit to your spirit. He yielded his will to your will. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And realizing that your Son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn in a vast family of brothers, as Paul said in Romans 8, that he is our example seed. He's the pattern for all sons. And as he was manifested as the Son of God, so the sons of God will have the same manifestation. And we know that manifestation is obedience to our Father. Because without the obedience, we could be born as sons, but yet will not receive the adoption of sons. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to the adoption process. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue in our series, In Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And this will be number 14 in our mini-series called The Attributes of a Son of God. What is the attributes of a Son of God? And what we're going to look at this morning, the attribute of being obedient to the Word. Brother Branham said, from God's only provided place of worship, he said, now the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws. The two laws, one of them is disobedient to the word and you die. The other one is obedience to the word and live. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy, in fact, if you break down the word, deut is two, and then onomy is a study up, or the laws. That's the two laws of Deuteronomy. It means two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture. One of them is death, the other is life. Life and death. God deals only in life, Satan only in death. And there was displayed to the world publicly, openly before our eyes, and there is no excuse for it. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race to death. The other one was given on Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life. When the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ, the two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these two great things. We find in the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, amen, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You see, we have too many people who, they can talk it. But he never said, if you talk in the light as he's in the light. He said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. From the God of this evil age, Brother Ram said, but in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, off somewhere, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, and some believes the word of God, and they're obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She's waiting for it. She is part of that word, and she's watching for her life to manifest that word. Amen. Brethren, can't you see that? I hope I hope that you didn't, that didn't go over you. The body is waiting, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work here. She can't come to life any other way. Yet she feels it out there and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one came forth. Now we had a great appearing in this hour. Brother Branham mentioned the word appearing and coming. He said they're two different words. They mean two different things, to appear and then to come. We had the presence of the Holy Spirit come down in a way which he hadn't been here in 2,000 years, a pillar of fire among us as he was in the days of Paul, as he was in the days of Moses. He came in this hour to get the bride ready. And we're looking at here the fact that Brother Branham is talking about the believer who sees something, a promise of God in the Word for them. She's waiting upon God to bring it to pass, as our brother brought out last night. It's a gift. It's grace to us. But the fact is that she's focused. She's waiting. He said, the body is waiting for which is the Word, waiting for the life, which is the Spirit, to confirm it or to make it alive. Now, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I could spend the next 10 days on Romans 8. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. If they weren't in the ark, they perished.
Right.
You've got to be in Christ Jesus, not in church.
Amen.
Not in a pew. Not in an association of churches or, but in Christ. Who, those that are in Christ, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not just after following their own spirit, but the Spirit. That's God's Spirit. Now, every time you see this word flesh used, as we've been mentioning here so often to you, I want you to insert the word self. To them who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is basically every seed after its kind. Genesis 1:11, the seed is sown, the seed comes forth, the seed dies, the seed is sown again, the seed comes forth, the seed dies. But notice he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, from the law of this body, of this flesh. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, through self, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, self, because he came in our image, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, brother, sister, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but yet took upon himself no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. In who? In us. Who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For they that are after self do mind the things of self. Isn't that pretty plain? If you're self-centered, you're going to be self-focused. You're going to mind the things of self. Everything's about you. But they that are after the Spirit conform to his image, the things of the Spirit. They mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be self-centered is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And yet we have a lot of people who claim to have the Holy Ghost, but they don't have life and they don't have peace. And they don't have that life of Christ reflecting from them, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. To be self-centered is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be, because if you are focused on self, how can you be focused on him? So then they that are in self cannot please God. But you are not in self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. And as I've said so many times, the mortal body is not the body that's dead. It's not the body that's in the grave. That's a cadaver or a corpse. But this body is your mortal body. The word mortal means capable of dying. The body in the grave is not capable of dying. It's dead. So what's he quickening? Not that there. He's quickening this here.
Amen.
Making it alive. Alive to what? Alive to his word.
Yes.
Alive to the day and the hour in which you live. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self, to live after self. For if we live after self, we shall surely die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify, in other words, deaden the things of this self, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. The churches today have it all wrong. They say, we bear witness with God. We are children of God. We sing Kumbaya, and we sing all these songs, and we are one in the family, one in the Lord, and all the churches sing the same thing, and yet are they? Just because you say it doesn't make it so. It says, His Spirit, the Spirit, God's Spirit, will bear witness with your spirit. How does He do that? John 14:12. The things that I do, you shall do also. You understand? The life that I live, you will live it. The words that I speak, you will speak it. The actions that I do, you will do them.
Yes.
The works that I do, you will do them. That's how God bears witness with your spirit, that your spirit is the same as His, that you are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And then if heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And that word glorified is the Greek word endoxazo. And it means to magnify the doxa. Well, what does that mean? Or to manifest the doxa. Well, doxa is a Greek word, which means the opinions and the values and the judgments of God. To magnify in your flesh God's opinion.
Wow.
To magnify in God, in your flesh, God's values. Sisters, brothers,
amen.
God's values.
For
I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. We've got so many people think you're going to do all kinds of super duper. Listen, what manifested Jesus as the Son of God? Was it miracles? If you say miracles, listen, Balaam had miracles. Jannes and Jambres had miracles. What did Brother Branham say about a son that would be adopted? Because he said, you could be born into the family, but unless you're about your father's business, unless you've come to the place where you've let your will go and you've received the will of your father, unless you're totally committed to your father, living the life. Like Jesus said, the son can do nothing of himself. Jesus could not heal. He could not raise the dead. He could not heal the sick. He could not do anything. He said the son can do nothing. Now, if you say he could, then you're calling Jesus a liar because he said he couldn't. John 5:19, John 5:30. He said the son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever the son seeth the father do, that's the vision, therefore the Son doeth likewise. He said, the Father works, and the Son worketh hitherto. So who is doing the work? The Father. Jesus just stepped into the vision. When Moses came up to the water, God says, speak and go forward. And Brother Branham said, if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. And that's the problem we have in this message today. People just talk a lot. They can talk it. But Brother Branham said, Moses had to actually put his foot into the water for the waters to part. Hallelujah. Jesus had to walk to that cross for you and I to receive our salvation and redemption and all those divine promises. You see, brother, sister, you can't be a disciple without discipline. That's the root word. And the problem is that we don't have discipline in this age. Everything's just kind of laissez-faire. Just do whatever you feel you want to do. It's like the days of Judges. There's not a prophet on the scene. And everybody did what they thought was good in their own heart. And it was nothing but chaos. No, we have the same guide that William Branham had. God gave him a vision. You don't need a vision, because every vision Brother Branham had, he had to take back to the Word. So if you've got everything here that he had to go to check the vision on, then what do you need a vision for? You've got the pattern in Jesus Christ. You've got everything that he said. You got everything he did. You got the actions. You got the works. Amen. It's a matter of stepping into it, brother, sister. Oh, I tell you, if you get a chance, read the life history. And you can get it on Amazon for free. Just download it. Of Columba and of Martin of Tours. Two men of God that were so yielded and so prayerful and so in the Spirit continuously. They did the same things Elijah did. They strapped Columba. I think it was Columba, maybe it was Martin. No, I think it was Columba. No, it was Martin. They strapped Martin to a tree because Martin was going around destroying all the places of idolatry. And so the bunch of them, they grabbed Martin, they strapped him on the tree that was leaning like this on the hillside. Strapped him on the bottom side, and they started taking their axes and cutting down the tree. God turned that tree and fell uphill on top of the men who were cutting down the tree. Martin had been so zealous to burn all the places of idolatry that he was burning one place down, and right attached to it was a house with some people in it, children in it. When he saw the flames were going to devour that house too, he scrambled up to the top of that house. Now remember, those houses were made out of thatch, the roof. He runs up to the top of that house. He stands there with his body between that house and the flaming blaze of fire consuming the other house. Actually, the chapel where the worship, false worship had been. And that flame bowed away from his body and turned back. And destroyed completely the house next, the house that was attached. You know how the houses are in England? How many have been to England? Well, basically, you can see those houses are just like a city block long, and there's just one roof. Or it's a series of roofs, but they're all connected together. What a man of God can do when he trusts God. Amen. Yields his body. And yet God said, I would rather obedience and sacrifice. Think of the prophet Ezekiel. God told him for a sign to Israel. He wanted him to lay on his side for 340 days on one side. And then, after those days are accomplished, lay on your other side. Turn over another 40 days. Brother, sister, that was obedience to the Word of God. That was John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do also. Tell me that you could lay in your side for 340 days on the nicest mattress. I've got a nice mattress and I can't lay on one side for more than probably half an hour or an hour. I don't know how he did it, but by the grace of God he did. That's it. Second Corinthians, casting down imaginations, casting down every high reasoning that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Again, from God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, Deuteronomy being a Greek word, two laws, the word Deuteronomy, and God has two laws, and one of them is the law of death, to disobedient to his word, and we find that when Eve disobeyed his word, it brought death. That's the one of his laws. The day you eat thereof, the day you die. And then he has another law, which is the law of life to obedience. And if you don't do such things, keep his word, why, you live. Boils down to two things, to my way of thinking. It's either keeping his word or disobeying his word. One of these was given on Mount Sinai. The other was, that's the law of death. The other was given on Mount Calvary, where the law of life was given through Jesus Christ. Notice the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, but Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. no greater love than a man has than he lay down his life for his brothers. Hebrews 5, verses 8 to 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, being made complete, being made mature, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience. We have too many people, brothers, sisters, that claim to be Christians and they could care less what's pleasing to God or not. Well, let me tell you one thing, that Enoch went up because he had this testimony that he was pleasing to God. From the Easter seal, Brother Branham said, watch the action of those disciples, scared. They know Jesus was the truth, but you see, it was against the popular idea, the popular religion of the hour. The most strictest religion, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and so forth, their cults and clans and denominations, they were against that heresy. But Jesus was the identified word, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in spirit. A little while in the world seeth me no more, but you will see me, not the body, the life that was in him. God is upon the church to all, God is upon the church to call sons like he did then, obedient. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. Which one of you can accuse me of sin? In other words, sin is unbelief. What has the word said about me that I haven't done? There it is. Show me what the word said that I do that I didn't do. Which one can accuse me? Which one can lay one finger on me and say that I haven't fulfilled my Father's word? Oh, when the Pentecostal church gets to that spot, who can accuse me of unbelief? Can I look at your life? I won't say, can I? Can you look at your life and say, I always do that which is pleasing to my Father? How do we expect to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, brother, sister, when we live for self? He didn't. 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. How do you expect grace and peace to be multiplied without sanctification of the Spirit unto means it brings you up to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ? And remember, what does that mean? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You understand? No walking in the light, no blood. It's not for you. Walk in the light, it's for you. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. It's just that simple. From the Easter seal, then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. How do we expect to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son if we're not obedient? 1 Peter 1:14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. Now, if the life that's living out of you is the Holy Spirit, won't your life be holy? Then why is it people claim to have the Holy Ghost and their life is not holy? They got a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 2 and 8. Wherefore I beseech you then that you would confirm your love toward him. For to do this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. In other words, all that you do in manner or deed, do all in the name, or word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. From Easter seal, he said, God's word, as Jesus was born, the Son of God, to be Emmanuel, God's full expression in a man. And he followed him in perfect obedience down at the River Jordan, being baptized by that prophet. And as soon as he obeyed him and walked out into the water, the heavens opened up to John, and he saw the Holy Ghost descending from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son. See, perfect obedience. The Spirit has sought him out in obedience. O wayward man or woman this morning, when you're sitting here and there's something in you telling you that this is right, that it's the Holy Ghost seeking you out to bring you to the knowledge of the truth of this hour that we're now living in. Not some hour that's gone by, but the hour that is now. Just think of it, brother, sister. Jesus had not bypassed his theophany. That's why he had full recollection. You and I bypassed our theophany, Brother Ram said. He went out into that water knowing full well who he was. He went out to get baptized. As Brother Brown said, the lamb had to be washed before it could be sacrificed. And God, looking at his obedience, filled him with the fullness. And that, Brother Brown said, that was his baptism by the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 11, 26, 27. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Blessing and cursing, brother, sister, life or death. From Broken Sisters, he said, and Israel found the same thing as examples in their journey to the promised land. The tanks were all dry. Yeah. Their journey in obedience to his promised word, their journey in the tanks, they found dry. Now they found the tanks, and the tanks could not be depended on for the journey. And if you're going to journey in obedience to the word of God and try to join this and join that, you're going to find out that there ain't a tank in the world that will support it, not at all. You are an individual, and God leads you just the way he wants to lead you. Then we have found the same thing today, and all the tanks are dried up. What is he talking about? When they journeyed, brother, sister, they weren't dependent upon a man-made cistern. They weren't dependent upon man-made wells. The rock, Christ, followed them through the wilderness. The ever-present water from that rock, which is Christ. From who do you say this is? He said, God had called a man, Moses. He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with the brothers. But you see, just like, and I believe, I forget what the prophet it was that said, I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch a fire. God has spoken it and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it or not, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God has spoken his heart and he must say it. Not to be different, but to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, a hearkening unto the fat of rams. See? It was in his heart. He must do it. It was in his heart. It was in his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something, a pulsation that pushed them. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them. He was their voice. He was their action. Hallelujah. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till every action and move is thus saith the Lord. Right in that Shekinah glory, and I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be. If he promised that we would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that's a promise, brother, sister.
Amen.
You've got to focus on that promise, and every day you've got to say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever is in me that is not conformed to the image of your firstborn, would you reveal it to me, Father? You promise if I be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to me. Show me, Father, so that I can take out that unbelief. From the token, Brother Ramson, look, when we realize and present the token, the life it took for the token, the blood speaks for us. Remember, the covenant blood was recognized with the token, and the word assures us the promise. The token is a sign that the promise is made for us. Now, if you're not included in that, well, of course, you'd never get nothing. You're just walking through a prayer line, walking back out, walking up the altar and looking up, walking back out. But, oh, brother, when the token's once placed in your heart, and you know it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you, something's happening. There isn't nothing that's going to turn you. You know where you belong. Full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. What did he say? He said if you can talk it, if you know all the doctrine, you can talk it like a house on fire. He said, full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Blessed is he that does all his commandments that he might have a right to the tree of life. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayers. Now don't fail to get that. When you pray, you must have the token to hold over your prayer. And if you're not, you pray until the token comes because you're not promised to receive it. See? So you've got to have this token first. That's the paying price, your faith to believe it. Now, I want to tell you something. When you go to pray, as our brother talked about intercession last night, when you go to pray, because God is putting that in your heart to pray, you say, Father, it is not Gary Keller that is coming to you with this request. It's your son, Jesus Christ. It's your son. It's your life that's giving back your word for the same scene in my family as I see in the Bible. And as the jailer, Paul said to the jailer, the same faith you have for yourself, apply it for your family and they'll be saved. That's it, brother, sister. When you go to God, and it's not you going to God, it's Jesus Christ in you as an intercessor going to God.
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah. You have what you will. Ask the Father anything in my name, not in the name of Gary Keller, not in the name of Ron Zimmerman. I'm asking you, Father, because it's Jesus Christ in me. And I'm asking in His name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want my family saved.
Yes.
I want to fill with the Holy Ghost. And whatever it takes, Father,
yes,
I'm laying myself at your disposal to be there. Kill me out so that Jesus Christ can reflect in me.
Yes.
From the token, He said, full obedience to the Word of God, the Word brings, full obedience to the Word brings God, the Word eternal in you. And that is the token. When the Word is in you, it's Christ in you. Now notice, then when we pray, we have the token. And when we pray, we have the token. We present our token with our prayer. Now, if you're sick and if you're a sinner, if you're in need, when you have the token, you have a right. And if I had the token to a bus line in my hand, they can't keep me off the bus. They've accepted my money and I have the token. And in this case, I could not pay my price, but you could not pay it, but He paid it for us and give us the token. Amen. I have a right to divine healing. Jesus died that I could have divine healing. I have a right to claim every promise in that book. When will we get it? When you have the token and can represent the token with your prayer. If you haven't got it, the sign of the full obedience of the fair has been paid. Again from the token. And when we can display the token of the Holy Spirit, it shows that we have accepted in Christ Jesus. We have been accepted in Christ Jesus. And that is our token that all that we have need of is already purchased by Him. We are identified with our token. The token must be ready. The blood, the covenant blood is not recognized without the token. The Word assures us of the promise. The token is a sign of the purchase has been made for us. Full obedience to the Word of God entitles us to the token. No other way is here than you could ever be entitled to the token until you fully obey the Word. Not what somebody put into it and add to it, but what God said about it. That's why when you go and you start reading about William Branham, Paul, when you read about Columba and Martin, and you find that these men constantly were in prayer. They just laid themselves prostrate before the altar of God day and night. Columba, as a young child, they said his favorite place to just spend his days was just at the altar. Just being in that spirit all day long. That little boy had that pillar of fire over his head. In fact, the priest came in, the one that, I think his name was, not Flanagan, something like that. It was kind of a real Irish name. And his parents, you know, were a prince and a princess. And before he was even born, when he's still in the mother's womb, an angel came to his mother and showed her in vision the whole aisles where Columba, where his life would minister to. And so anyway, then they felt when the child was born that they wanted him to be raised up like Samuel, who was raised at the feet of Levi. So they brought him to the priest, and he was a real wonderful man. And he lived with that man, and when he was just a young boy, just a few years old, the priest was coming home from a visitation, and he thought that the house was on fire because there was a glow of, looked like fire from inside the house. So he comes running into the house, and he when he burst in through the door, he doesn't see a fire, but he looks, and there's a pillar of fire over the boy's head as the boy was sleeping. I see that pillar of fire has been through every age. Not visible to us until this hour.
Sure.
In the days of Paul, days of Moses. But he's been there. He's been through the ages. Brother Branham said that pillar of fire went from age to age to age. That light of God. Brother, sister, they dwelt in the presence of God. Day and night. That's what made them so different from everyone in their age. From Jeremiah 7:23, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the way that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." His brother Don and I were talking during the week. He called, and he was just very, very distraught because he'd received this letter from this brother that he'd been trying to help for since they come up a few months back. And actually the agreement was that his son-in-law had sponsored them to come over, and he was supposed to take care of whatever. But, you know, since he'd been preaching on these things and intercession and these things, and the guy just threw the word back in his face, yet every time he came to try to help the brother knew it all. You know, he was a so-called minister himself over in Iran, or at least a lording over God's heritage. But Brother Branham, he said, you know, he said, you try to give the people the medicine and they won't take it. So you hold them down, you try to pour it in their mouth, and what do? They spit it back in your face. You see, even God cannot be God to those who will not accept him as God. Because the word God is an object of worship. Now, what's the other side of this issue? Well, the 14th attribute of those who are serpent seed, totally one with the devil, children of darkness, is disobedience to the word of God. From God of this evil age, Brother Ram said, children of disobedience means disobedience. It means rebellion. I looked that up in the dictionary to be sure. Rebellion. Rebelling against what? The revealed word of God. Like Cain rebelled against Abel, Abel's revealed revelation. Vindicated of God that it was right. And Cain rebelled against it and slew his brother. The Pharisees, with their denominational knowledge of what the word of God was supposed to be, selected handpicked men, rebelled against the vindicated word of God, made manifest for the day Jesus Christ, and killed him. That's right. That's what the children of disobedience is, a rebellion against the word of God. Now see where we're at. Oh, days of miracles is past, they say. Jesus Christ is not the same, they say. There's no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost, they say. All that stuff is nonsense, they say. See? Rebellion, they don't have to say two things, just have to say one thing. That's all. That's rebellion right there. They can't say you don't have eyes, you don't have ears. You've got to take the whole body, the whole word. See? The Holy Spirit, calls out to her. Be not partakers of her denominational dogma. And he laughs and he scorns the word of God of this day. For God is not mocked, the Bible says. Just remember, she'll get it. Don't be worried about it. She'll get it. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, if you want to put that down, Ephesians 4:30, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. They can't mock and make fun and say these things and get by with it. Like bread upon the water, it'll return. From 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Who came down to 63? The mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? From God of this evil age, Brother Bram said, notice the children of disobedience and disobedience has nothing in common. The children of obedience and disobedience has nothing in common. The disobedience worship their God. Oh, they say, well, we believe the Bible. It's a mixed tree, see? They add the world and knowledge to it. Satan's tree is mixed. See? She took from Satan's tree good and evil. Oh, we believe the word, sure, but not all of it. Eve believed the word too, but let Satan take his tree and pervert it a little bit. That's what it is. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word from it, you see? And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Deuteronomy 11:28, and a curse And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of them, out of the way, which I command you this day to go after that those gods which you have not known. And Ephesians 2 and 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you've got obedience and life, disobedience and death. From God of this evil age, he said there's only two class of people spoke of in the New Testament, the children of God and the children of the devil. Did you know that? You want to put a scripture down for that? That's 1 John 3 and 10. If you want the scripture, I'm reading it right here. Got it wrote out. All right, and Ephesians 2 and 2. They are called the children of disobedience, like Eve was, disobedient to God's word. The children of obedience and disobedience have nothing in common. Then how can the bride of Christ associate in a denomination when one's disobedient and the other is obedient? How can one be the word and the other be perverted word? How can a prostitute and an unclean woman walk together in agreement? They can't do it. They have no fellowship at all. Come out from among them. It's of the devil. It's the mark of the beast. Heading right into it now, all denominations. I don't care whose it is. God's taking not a denomination, but a people for his name. A denomination won't receive these truths. It'll take an individual person that can see God and look at his word and believe it and belong to no organization, but live for God. Not for his organization of intellectual wisdom or some bishop or something that has taught them. That's right. Well, Ephesians 5 and 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of this, of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And Colossians 2, 3, 5 to 6 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now in closing, Brother Branham said, from power transformation, he said, now, if not, then sin lies at the door. Unbelief lays there. Then he becomes willfully disobedient. And when you know to do good and do it not, to you it is sin. If you know what's right and you don't do it, see, then it becomes willfully disobedient. After the word has been vindicated, then he crossed the separating line. Then he was ousted from Eden when he crossed. There's a line to where you just go so far, and if you go any further over that, over onto the other side, you're out. You know that, don't you? There's a line. And if you don't believe it, you read Hebrews 10, 26. That's the scripture I was referring to, see? For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That's New Testament, is that right? If we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge, it's been preached to you, read to you, proved to you, after we see the knowledge of the truth and you go ahead and unbelieve, disbelieve, willfully, there's no more sacrifice for you. But a fearful looking to the fiery indignation, who shall devour the adversary, is that right? You can cross that line. Like the children of Israel did in their journey, coming through the wilderness, Israel did. They did the same. After they'd heard Moses' message and seen it vindicated, listened to a false prophet that said, oh, now look, children, we're all the same. We should marry one another. We should do this. And Moses had told them different and seen God vindicate it, because Balaam seemed to be more instructive man than Moses was, see? He come from a great nation where there was a great people and was all organized together in the land of Moab, great armies and great things that the people in them days would have feared. And here come a prophet down, a prophet anointed one, false anointed one, see? Come down to an anointed one. Now look how close, and taught the people, and many of them went after that. And don't you never forget that, see? Went after those things that wasn't of the word, that wasn't vindicated and proven by the word. Balaam was a fundamentalist. But you know what? So was Moses. They both offered seven rams, seven bullocks. They both had the same sacrifice. You know, they were cousins. Actually, not cousins, but the Moabites were, you know, part of that family. Abraham, Lot was the nephew. And the Moab was the son by the daughter of Lot with Lot. So they're related, brother, sister, just like Pentecost is related to you people in this message. Fundamentally the same. But one will take a vindicated word, the other will not. 1 John 3 and 12, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now notice, John says here that Cain slew his brother because his works were evil. Now you would think that the slaying of his brother was what was evil. His sacrifice was evil. He turned down the blood of the lamb in favor of what he could produce, his fruits. And that was evil and led to the slaying. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and if any man obey not our words, you say, how did that lead to the slaying? Because the Bible says before Abel was slain by Cain, the Bible says, and they talked in the field, and then Cain slew his brother. What did they talk about? People hate you because you talk about fashion? People hate you because you talk about the Reds? People hate you because you talk about a revealed truth. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and if any man obey not the word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And from God of this evil age, and if the Antichrist beginning there in the infancy of disobedience, what will it be when it heads up in the person of the Antichrist? How deceptive it'll be. How much more powerful a deception could an adult give to the world than an infant child? And it said, the spirit of delusion now working in the children of disobedience, disobedient to the word. Notice, now I want to dwell on this just a moment. The children of disobedience, a child. Did you know your beginning? I can prove by God's word that you, any person in here was alive in your great grandfather. And your great grandfather, you were produced down to your grandfather, then to your father, and then to you. And you know that? And the Bible said, Hebrews 7, that Melchizedek, when Abraham returned to the slaughter of kings, Abraham paid Melchizedek tithing of all the spoil. And here Paul says that Levi, who received tithes, yet he paid tithes while he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. So what Abraham did, then we find that Levi was then in Abraham, which was his great-grandfather. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot the patriarchs and Levi. Now then you see, here comes into perfect view predestination. So brother, sister, what is it all about? Either we were in him before the foundations of the world or not. Either we have a heart that truly is being conformed, being worked on by the Holy Spirit. Look, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Look how God smashed William Branham into the place of being obedient. Yes, right. Took his wife, took his children, yeah. his little girl, almost took Billy Paul. The whole thing, brother, sister, the floods, the whole thing. Why? Because he listened to a mother-in-law. Listened to his mother-in-law instead of to God. In his heart, he wanted to do what God was, but he didn't want to fuss. You see, Brother Bram had a nature that was, he just didn't like to fuss. I'd rather see you make a fuss, brother, sister, and stand for God than to just go with the flow and walk away from God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask you, Lord, to take these cut up words this morning and to piece them together so that we might understand, Father, that we have promises in this hour to be manifested sons, to manifest the way your son did. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and we ourselves are learning obedience by the things which we go through and we suffer. Father, we know that he was the example seed, the pattern, the eldest in a vast family of brothers, and we are to be conformed to that image. So, Father, help us to take a hold of these promises and not just to talk about them, Father, but to step into them. And Father, when we apply the token, may we recognize, oh God, your Holy Spirit in us. And as our brother preached last night, that intercessory of your Holy Spirit, that intercessory of your Son Jesus, his life in us, that when we go to you, Father, for our family, we go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, putting on Christ, or until Christ be formed in you. And so, Lord, we're looking at these things. And we realize, Father, that when Jacob and Esau wrestled for the birthright, even in the mother's womb, and they came out wrestling, vying for that firstborn, that birthright. And when Jacob presented himself to his father to receive that blessing, he looked like Esau. He talked like Esau. He smelt like Esau. He put hair in his arms to feel like Esau. He even did the works of Esau in making the pottage. He dressed like him until, as Paul the apostle said, that we must put on Christ in order to receive our adoption. And Jacob had to put on Esau, the firstborn, in order to receive the blessing to become heir. So help us, Father, to put on Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have, Believe It, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Thee against that day.